That's what we can get.
Okay. You're alone. You're very alone.
Trust me, I'm aware.
Now, Mom.
Thanks, everybody. We're all here. You just can't see them. All right, I have to go over this because my guides made a big deal out of it, and apparently I'm supposed to
read the notes you left from last time.
Oh. These are notes that I make when, you remember me telling you that for me to best communicate with my guides,
yes,
was to open the Bible.
Is that the communicating Bible?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I would write notes of where, what really worked for me, yes, what appeared to be the message that they were giving me. So I would mark various places in the Bible. It's a well-worked Bible.
Well and wisely
well
used.
Well used, yeah. And
it's tiny. You can see that print?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Impressive.
With glasses, anything is possible.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
What did you do it to? What passage are you?
Hang on. Got to find it. I also have the little flowers.
Whatever works. Could be weirder.
I'm here to close your bones.
Thank you. Where are you? There you are. Okay. This was a passage that I had memorized as a child because it kept being said to me over and over again. And they brought it up to me recently. And I wanted to read it to you. It's a very short passage. And it's in John. And it is John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And it's, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." I've had some clients, in particular recently, especially since we've been doing the internet webpage, thank me for giving them back Christ without religion. Now, what I mean by that is to understand that Christ doesn't have to have religious belief systems that condemn or judge. It doesn't have to have all of the guilt along with it. And that you can accept Christ and stand in the light of Christ and take authority in Christ without taking on everything that the church has tried to make you believe that you have to accept. Do you understand?
Uh-huh. The dogma.
The dogma, all the dogmas. Mm-hmm. And each church has its own dogmas, its own rules. And if you don't believe in Christ according to their dogma, mm-hmm, you're wrong. And you're going to be condemned. And there are some churches that teach that Christ is God. If you read the Bible, God gave his only begotten Son. And that's all throughout the Bible. And, but people have their belief systems that were given to them through their parents, through their churches, by their belief systems that don't actually go with the Bible. And it's important to let you know that you have to take your authority through Christ if you're going to deal with evil in this world. Because that's the only way you're going to be able to deal with it. If you try taking it through any other means, it will not work. It's plain and simple. Whatever your belief system is, if you're going to combat evil, now we're not talking about bad people, we're talking demonic. okay? We're talking the unseen out there, the supernatural that is out there. And that whether you know it or not, you are dealing with it on a daily basis. This is the dark side that speaks to you from the left, that tells you how awful you are, how ugly you are, how unfit you are. They break you down bit by bit. You have to understand that you are living in a material world, but you are a spiritual being, constantly being affected by spiritual entities, whether you like it or not. So, if you understand that if you can stand in the authority, in the light of Christ, you can then use the name of Christ to make whatever it is go away. And it will go away. Again, like my guides have said, Christ is right, the demonic. Are simple cockroaches. You fill out the raid, they run. So I really want to get this across. It's really important. I know I'm a minister. I do have a church, New Age Christian Church. It has no dogma.
But we like it.
But I try to teach truth so that you can use it on a daily basis. I don't teach metaphysical stuff that just doesn't work. It sounds great, but it doesn't work. What I try to teach you here is something that can actually better your life if you use it on a regular basis, on a daily basis. And it's by your choice. It'll never be shoved down your throat. You either accept it and use it freely, or you don't, and that's okay too. And it is given freely. Any questions?
No. Okay, so I've actually had it brought up several times, the Beatitudes, Matthew 5 in particular, that blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the world. And hold on. We're probably going to go to the same page with this. And I read Grieber, the one who wrote Communication with the Spirit World of God, he has a translation of the New Testament. And I read that, and the word was gentle. But let me pull up the definition. Meek means quiet, gentle, and easily imposed upon, submissive. And to me, if Christ was going to overcome the demonic and overcome Satan, which he did.
Yes.
He could not do that being meek.
No.
And it doesn't seem to me like Christ would encourage us to be meek also.
I'm in total agreement.
Okay. That was.
I thought that passage meant humble.
There's some
humble. There you have to go back to translations.
Right.
And the Bible has been translated
so many times.
So many times.
It's been translated from one language to another, and then you have people that come in and decide, I don't like this, I don't like that, I'm going to change this, I'm going to change that.
King James.
Yeah, exactly.
Martin Luther.
If you don't agree with me.
Yeah.
So it's a whole different... I do not believe that Christ encouraged people to be meek. I do believe that Christ encouraged people to stand, to take authority in healing, and taking authority over the demonic, and casting out the demonic, and in doing all the things that he did. He said that we should do and greater. So I don't know where that came into play, but it doesn't match with what my guides have taught me.
And it doesn't match with what I've personally experienced either.
Same here. That's a very good question, because I remember that being brought up as well.
And
well, I didn't
sacrifice
quite,
as well.
That's how it was taught to me, to be sacrificial.
Yes.
Of self.
Absolutely. Well, it was me too. You're supposed to sacrifice. Mm-hmm.
To be a good Christian.
To be a good person.
To be a daughter, son,
right,
mother.
Right.
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys were taught?
Yes.
Yeah. Baptist,
wow.
I was.
Maybe not so much, I don't know if it's so much for men, but women, it's you sacrifice for your parents, you sacrifice for your kids. I mean,
that comes last.
It depends upon which church you're brought up with and which church your parents were brought up with and how much manipulation was done, sadly.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't taught like that.
Yeah, when they told you that your mom and your sister are outside and they're looking for you, and you said, well, no, my people aren't here. I thought that was pretty telling about, you know, these are my people, you know. They're my family. These are my people.
I was taught to obey my parents, but not to obey my spouse. No, I'm serious.
I understand. Okay.
That I'm to be an equal to him, but I'm to obey my parents as a youth, and as I grow up, I should always listen to them, but I was an adult then, too, and I mean, that's... and.
You're taught to honor your mother and your father. Not really to... Well, you're taught as a child to honor and obey.
Obey, yes.
That's where your spunk comes in.
But then again, you get into different translations of the Bible, and that goes into marriage as well. Mm-hmm. So, depends upon which translation. That's why I'm saying, go direct to your guides. Find out. The information that I got from my guides all of my life very often countered the things that I was taught. And I found out, no, you're not supposed to sacrifice. That has been done for you. That's what Christ did. Christ did the sacrifice for you. You do not have to sacrifice. It is not necessary. Because I really thought that was a part of it. And it wasn't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you can't help, it doesn't mean you can't give, but you're not supposed to sacrifice.
Right.
There's a big difference. And I found out that when you do sacrifice, you do it in a way that is not healthy because you feel put upon.
So there's a resentment there?
There is a begrudging.
Yeah.
There's a begrudging that takes place. And that is not a healthy way to be. We should, if we give, we should give willingly.
Freely, yes.
And freely and from the heart. Not looking for something in return. And not looking for praise. But because this is what we know is right. And we should do that.
It's like an example that just hit me this week was there was a box at the store for St. Jude's Children's Hospital.
Yeah.
And at first the lady asked me if I wanted to give, and I normally don't give to stuff like that, but I saw that it was for St. Jude's, and I said, yeah, I will. So I put a dollar in it, and she went to hand me a piece of paper. She goes, oh, well, here, write your name on it. We'll put it up. And I went, no, I'm not doing it for that. I'm doing it because it's a good cause. I don't want my name on anything.
That's the whole point. I mean, it's okay to do it that. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. But you have to do it because you want to do it.
Not because you want to put a picture of it on social media and have people say, oh, you're such a great person because you bought the homeless person
McDonald's. And if you're doing it for praise, personal praise, you're doing it for the wrong reasons, whatever.
And that's what I see that so many times with all the little things up around the stores and stuff where people donated.
Yeah. But that's called incentive. And I'm sorry to say, we have to give incentives. When I was with the Kidney Foundation, I learned you had to give incentives if you wanted people to help out. And there's nothing wrong with incentives. It's okay. As long as you're not doing it exclusively for the incentive.
I think a lot of people do. That's what worries me.
You had 8 questions?
8?
6 questions.
6.
2 of them got answered.
Okay. What were your questions?
Well, I was just going to say, as far as the Sermon on the Mount, I believe, is when Jesus said the Beatitudes. You may want to just Google Sermon on the Mount in Greek.
Translated, like you did with the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah, the Lord's Prayer. Because it would have first been written down in Greek.
Actually ancient Greek.
And you'll probably see that, like I did with the Lord's Prayer in Aramaic, from Aramaic to English. You'll see, you know, first century Aramaic, whatever, you know, Aramaic. But you may, if you do that, that may give you a little bit better idea of what he actually said.
If we find good stuff, maybe we can do like the Lord's Prayer and put it on the
Absolutely. Because I know so much has been lost in translation. Plus, the Bible was written anywhere from 70 years to 200 years
after
the crucifixion of Christ.
I think they were the bad parts in around 300 AD.
Yeah.
That's when they started monkeying with it and changing who everybody was and what the whole religion was.
Yeah, I've had
before
it.
That, it
and then they threw
nice.
Out all the gospels.
Was this after the Council of Nicaea?
That was when the bad stuff
started. Yeah, okay. that's when they
that was a bad thing.
Of the gospels.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that dealt with reincarnation got
they
pitched.
They took it out, yeah.
Well,
that's when they changed Jesus into God.
Is that when that happened?
That's when it happened.
Okay,
that
that's good to know. I did not know that.
There's still a Rosicrucian church. There's still
yeah.
a... what's the other side of it?
Well, Rosicrucians, different.
Yeah, they're still here, though. And
yeah,
there's
here.
Also the
oh,
original
I mean,
the original Catholic.
In San Jose, California.
The original Christian church is still here. Then it split into two. And that was one side and the other side. And they're both still here, and they both have a way better version.
So are the Rosicrucians more the original?
Hey, we're all getting out there. Okay. But not a whole lot of sharing tonight, okay?
Just the difference, what I was trying to point out, between ancient Greek and modern Greek, it's a whole other language.
I know.
And I never realized it with my mother being Greek, and she said, no, I had to study ancient Greek.
Wow.
All the languages, even in Japan, there's ancient Japanese.
They're dead languages,
yeah. Okay.
I was going to say, there's a PBS documentary called From Jesus to Christ, which is really good and tells about how the scriptures were retranslated throughout the ages and Jesus became God, essentially,
okay.
throughout the process.
Because all the way through, it so specifically states, and Christ so specifically states his Father,
mm-hmm.
always.
Yeah.
I did a hearing with a young man. He was deaf, and he asked me if I could do a healing on him. I said, I don't know, I can try. So I did a healing on him in the name of Jesus Christ, which I always do, because I can't do anything, okay? I do it through the authority of Christ. And when I did it through the authority of Christ, he started hearing birds. He heard the birds outside the
wow.
window. Then he turned to me and he said, you do believe that Jesus is God, correct? I said, no, I do not. He shut down and left. He shut down and left.
Wow. His choice.
It shocked me. So I have learned that people have such strong set belief systems that even though they get results, they will not accept even the healing in the name of Jesus, because I would not accept that Jesus was God. And I've done this with people that were pagans, okay? I've been able to, like, take entities off of their property in the name of Jesus Christ. And they come back to me and they say, well, yes, they're gone. And I said, do you understand how that occurred? Well, you're just too religious. Okay.
Let him go back to their sage smudging. Mm.
I it blows my mind how narrow-minded, how in the box people can become. They're so afraid of reaching beyond and outside of that box of what their restraints are and their narrow way of thinking.
They're so programmed to do so, they don't really understand that they can't
well,
come out of that.
For this person, she was a paganist, and she did it out of rebellion against the church, which her family was religious. So her rebellion was her box.
Wow. Yeah.
Sweet, wonderful woman, but she just couldn't.
She imprisoned herself.
Absolutely. And Mother Goddess. You know, who wants a universe when you can have a Mother Goddess?
Or a powerful moon.
Yeah.
That's another one. Well, I resonate very highly with the energy of the moon. Like, we all do, because the tides and the water in the body. Like that.
There's always going to be people that have their strong belief systems that will not be open, and that's fine. I respect that. If that's what it takes to make them feel reassured and comforted, then so be it. That's okay.
People do that with so many different things. So think about how people are with food. You can get someone to eat something and they like it, and then when you tell them what it is, they don't want it anymore.
They shut it down. Mm-hmm. Well, that's our comfort zones.
Yeah.
And we don't like getting our comfort zones opened up, because it means there's uncomfortable things that they might have to deal with or face, and they don't want to do it. Especially with religion, though. Very strange.
Well, particularly with Christianity, when you see people have been brought up with a belief system of, if you don't believe the way we believe,
you're going to hell. Yeah.
You can see why they would have reluctance to believe other things or not believe certain things, because then there's a chance they could burn forever in eternal hell. That's something I really had to get past.
That scared me. It
was what?
Was the
hellfire,
the fear of hell.
Yes.
And when I started, about at the age of about 33, started to expand my belief systems kind of beyond what I had been taught, you know, and considered a belief.
God can be very frightening. The judgment mm-hmm. can be very, very frightening. What my guides taught me is that we have a loving God.
Yeah.
See, I was taught we had a vengeful.
I wow. was too, mm-hmm. but not through my guides. My guides Agreed. Corrected all of that yeah. thing. Which I'm very, very grateful for.
You know, we never really got into that. We had started to at the end of the meeting one time, and I had asked you exactly about that, because I had gone to a Pentecostal church yeah. at a very young age. And I came home and I told my mom, I was 3 or 4, and I said, God isn't bad, you know. yeah. God isn't mean.
Right.
And I mean, as a child that age, I knew that, and that was wrong, and I didn't want to go back.
Well, that's what they teach, different belief systems, different religions, different churches, and then they also believe that if you don't believe like they do, you're going to hell.
Absolutely.
Even if you believe in God and Christ.
They had me scared
Crazy.
To death.
Yeah, I was terrified.
And you said that came about from one of the names of God?
Yeah, that did. It did.
And it would. Can you elaborate a little bit?
Okay. Jehovah.
Okay.
Are we good?
Yeah. What I have found through my work was I found that there was 72 names of God through my work, and that one of those names was Jehovah, as mentioned frequently through the Bible, and that was, each name was a represented an aspect of God that had angels and legions of angels under that aspect of God. And each name was truly not a name of God, but represented that aspect of God. And some of those aspects fell.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Not many, but some fell. Jehovah was one of those that brought into effect vengeful,
mm-hmm.
punishing and vengeful, which God was not.
What would the opposite of that then, would it be?
There wasn't an opposite.
Okay.
God is very loving. God doesn't punish, God teaches. We do the punishing and the dark side. And we choose how we're going to punish ourselves.
And God forgives.
God forgives. Absolutely.
Did the name Yahweh fall as well?
Yahweh's Christ.
Okay.
How does an attribute or an aspect of God fall?
They fell and went semi-demonic.
But if it's an aspect...
Angels.
Okay.
No, that was the angels that represented
okay.
them,
That's
that
what
held
yeah.
the that
yeah.
of that.
Okay.
They fell.
Gotcha.
It's, correct me if I'm wrong, sort of like the marketing department of a corporation.
Yes.
There's the marketing department, there's the social media department, there's the human resources, there's this.
Finance, yeah.
It
whatever.
Was a department of
God.
God Inc.
Yeah.
That fell.
Not the aspect. The aspect can't fall.
Like the workers.
It was the angelics that represented that was supposed to be holding, making that aspect work along with all the other aspects like they were supposed to. They fell.
So when the name of Jehovah is called upon, then you're actually calling upon fallen
angels? It's all right now. It got restored. It got redeemed back to God.
Okay.
It did get redeemed back to God.
Are there names that have not been redeemed back to God?
Not to my knowledge. That's the only one that I found.
But that's where the vengeful God came
from. That's where the vengeful God.
Because they were seeking, they were...
It gave...
They were smiting people, weren't they?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the fact that humans at one point in history were calling upon the name of Jehovah in a spiteful, revengeful way, that's what caused that legion of angels to fall?
I don't know for sure what made the legion fall, but I would suspect that that led into it, because if you take one aspect and you only pray to that particular aspect, it can make it fall.
Starts to resonate with that energy.
Starts to resonate, because the root of all evil is ego, and everything has an ego.
I'm proud of you, Steve.
He has really come a long way.
I know, right?
Whoa. You have no idea. I do.
I saw those wheels turning. I love it.
Well, I just, it's to understand the mechanics of it really helps me, if you
me
want
too.
To call the mechanics of it.
Well, that's kind of why I'm doing this tonight, because they said that people really needed to understand that it doesn't require a religious belief system, that it's actually between you and Christ and God, and the angelic community. And when you command in the name of Christ, and you command through the authority of Christ, and you command through authority that is yours to take, things happen. You get results. If you go in there and go, I command you to leave in the name of Jesus Christ, not going to happen. Or if you recite, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. It has to come from within, with the knowledge that you have the right to stand in that light and in that authority. Because that's why Christ died, was for that reason, to give all of you that right. No matter what your belief system is, if you accept that, that's all you have to worry about. You don't have to be concerned with anything else, because you have the authority of the entire spirit community, which is huge. You can manifest. There's all sorts of things you can do because you have that right as a child and a creation of God.
You have to believe you have that right.
You have to accept.
Accept.
Yeah, and it will not happen in your time frame.
Nope.
Well, see, I'm
You
very,
mean when you wanted to? Is that what you mean?
No.
I don't know what she means.
What
by
I
that.
Mean is it will happen when it's meant to happen, not
no.
when you have to try to manifest something.
No.
It's not going to necessarily happen the next day.
You need to clarify. You broad-scaled everything.
Okay. And when
are you going into manifesting?
Well, in your prayers in general, they don't always... It doesn't always happen immediately when you pray for something.
All right. Let's go into that a little bit.
Okay.
Number one, when you start doing the liftings and you start doing the work, you are building your authority, you're building your reputation, you're establishing your place with the spirit community, okay? They recognize then that you're for real, that what you mean is for real, and that you're really coming from the heart, and that you are really meaning this in the right way. It's you build seniority is what you do. You build reputation, as with all things. And as you build in that seniority, your authority gets stronger and better. Your liftings become stronger and better. You can call in more forces. It's a matter of your belief system and that you are establishing yourself within that community. Is that making any sense? Uh-huh. Do you understand?
It's like moving to a new town.
Yeah.
You have to meet people and establish.
Establish who you are. And your intent and motive.
Exactly.
It's kind of, they did a cool show about Christ. It was on TV. And there was this magician. And John, or I think it was Peter, healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Whereas a magician, he would pretend he'd do magic.
That was on the mm-hmm. AD,
yeah.
The Bible.
Yeah. And so John then started baptizing people in the name of Jesus Christ so they could start building their authority through Christ. And so the magician said, please baptize me. So he baptized him. He said, does this now mean I can heal like you do? It doesn't work that way. You have to establish your belief system, who you are. Now, don't misunderstand me. Yes, you can heal in the name of Jesus Christ. But you have to really believe. You have to believe that you have the right to do that in the name of Jesus Christ, and it will be done. But you can't do it because you just want to make it happen. You want people to see how great you are. Mm-hmm. It will not happen. It's all based in motive. Motive and intent. So the magician couldn't do it.
Right. Because his motive was for show. Ego purposes.
For show. Mm-hmm. Ego. Money. Mm-hmm. Doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. I have a dear friend that he learned how to do the lifting and how to do the house cleansing and how to make the demonic leave. Well, he decided to make it into a career. They kicked his butt. You can't do it for that purpose. You can't go in there and clean houses from the demonic for money and them not rip you to shreds. So he did it again. He's done it. This is the second time. First time I told him, I said, if you do this a second time, that's all I can cleanse you, I can get you back. After that, you're on your own. I can never do it again for you because you are going against what you know to be truth. He did it a second time, called me up, said, I think I got something on me, help. I said, you did it again. Yeah, I'm not gonna do it anymore. I said, you did that the last time. You said that the last time. This is not something that you use for that purpose.
Now, we were talking about this a while back. When you do your readings, you're not selling your services.
No.
You're selling your time.
I only sell my time. When I do readings for people, it's my time. They buy a half an hour of my time. Whatever I do in that time is freely given. That's how my guides told me to do it.
And so now, in that situation, could he say, you know, the time and expenses, there's going to
he
be,
could.
Like, I need
but he
to be recon-
But he didn't.
I see. Good analogy.
So he was telling people that they were paying for his authority, essentially, to be able
to cleanse
houses, opposed to his time.
Right.
But you have to be cautious with that, too. Mm-hmm. Because if somebody comes to me and they say, I have demonic in my household, I'll clear them. Okay. Although, I'm getting a lot of that, so I may have to actually start doing it for my time.
Well,
but again, it's your motive.
Right.
His motive was not where it needed to be.
But if he was cleansing in the name of Jesus Christ, these houses, then how could that be a bad thing?
It can't.
Okay.
Except if you're doing it for the wrong purpose. The demonic, when he entered, said, ah, the holy man is here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
As he thought of himself.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was an ego thing.
Yeah. Okay.
You can't do it like that.
Right.
Now, I had to go one time to clear a property that was out of state. It was in the north, Milwaukee. And they paid my expenses there, and they paid for, you know, whatever I needed. I didn't really personally charge them anything. They just paid for my expenses and stuff. And I cleared, it was a heavy, bad, demonic place. And they were really being under extreme attack. And that was okay, because I told them, I said, if you want to, I can do it over the phone. It won't cost you anything. Or we can set up an appointment. It won't cost but the price of the appointment. But whenever I do it from a place of the authority of God, not for the money. I can't do it for the money. That make any sense?
Mm-hmm.
As I asked him, when I first became a professional psychic, God. I asked him, I can't do this for money, because I've been doing it for years for free. With the police departments, always free, always in the
office.
Really? Oh, yeah. Always. Forever. I mean, you know, I was like 36, 37 when this I had to go professional, because they wanted me to do this 100% of the time. And I said, I'll starve to death if I have to have a job. And they said, you will not charge for what you do. You will give that freely, but you will charge for your time. Okay, I can feel good about charging for my time. I did not feel good about charging for any of the rest of it.
That makes sense.
And that's how that came into being.
And your charging for your time is very inexpensive compared to what some other people
do. Oh, Lord,
do.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So if they get upset over what I tell them, they really have no recourse because they bought my time. And
well,
they don't get upset with what I tell them.
Well, because they don't want to hear the truth.
That's what I was going to say. It's the truth. I've been trying to think of how to narrow it down. What I'm talking about is, say you pray and you're asking for something to happen.
You've got to be really cautious for that. Number one, you have to believe that it will happen.
Right.
Number two, you may negate by the way you've asked for it to come to you. If you've stipulated how it's supposed to come to you, you have negated it completely. It has to be open door.
Right.
And you better make sure that it's what you really, really want.
Don't ask for it. Be careful what you ask for.
You can't ask for it to be another human being, because you can't break
free will.
Right.
But what I meant by that was, you can't pray for it and expect it to happen the next day.
No,
it's going to happen in its time.
It takes multiple things to happen to bring into effect a singular event.
And that's what I was trying to get across.
Well, that's with everything.
Yeah.
That's why we've had several people that have emailed in asking for, what do you see in my future? Or what a blah, blah, blah. Like a fortune teller. And I respond, Carol doesn't do quote unquote future readings, because right now we're on a path, and any one of the choices that we may make is going to take us on any one of particular, and it just expands out and turns into this huge, big ordeal of possibilities.
Yes.
And you can't...
Well, I can see some things in the future. I'm not a fortune teller. Not fortune teller.
Fixed points?
I can see where they have done this, that is getting ready to bring into effect this.
Isn't it like a two-week time frame?
Well, it can run as far as a year.
But just on that direct path that they're on.
Yeah. Now, if they make changes, they can stop that event from coming into play for them, which is the only real reason to talk to somebody like me, because if you've got something really bad headed your way, you want to negate it. So I will see what you did to put it into place and how you need to negate that that is coming your way. Now you can choose to accept it and do it and you will negate it. Or you can choose to go ahead and keep on going down that path. Like a woman came to me and she was with this man and I told her, I said, if you don't break away from him, he will end up being your death.
Wow.
Well, she didn't break away from him. And a couple of years later, she went home. He was in the bed with another woman. She went running out of the house, tripped, and broke her neck.
And it, I mean, there's, I mean, pivotal happen too. So
there are situations that are fated. These are things that you have put into place, or their past life carryovers that have begun to come into place because you've met that person, and that program then begins to start rolling for those events to happen. Now, you can allow those events to happen, or you can shift them and change them, forgive them, release them, and go and do another path. Or you can take yourself out. So there are multiple things that come into play. So no, I'm not a fortune teller. I don't use cards and say, all right, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. But I can see things that can come into effect for you in the future, depending on your circumstances, the person that you're with, what you're looking for, that sort of thing.
All about your choices.
It is about your choices.
And the decisions that you've made.
Absolutely. And I won't see things that cannot be changed.
Interesting.
I cannot see things that cannot be changed.
I don't want to know things.
Like a death that cannot be changed.
Correct.
Right. Well, that's good for you.
Well, I asked God. I told God, I said, if I'm going to do this, I don't want to have knowledge of anything that I cannot change or that I can that won't serve a good purpose. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to know it. And you don't want to know it.
No.
You know? And I don't want to set things in place. Like I have people who come in and say, when am I going to die?
Mm-hmm.
When is your time? Because I may actually see something. I may be given something that they've got a 2-year thing. And I will tell them how to negate it, how to stop it, how to change it, because I'm given something there. Mm-hmm. If I'm given nothing, I won't give you anything. And I will not plant a seed of death. You can plant seeds. You can plant seeds of illness. You can plant seeds of death. And people will actually take it and run with it on a subconscious level.
There are some people who almost want to die.
Yeah.
Like they're just kind of like, okay, I'm done. This is fun, and I'm okay.
I had a lady that her husband died, and she wanted to know how long she would live because she didn't want to live without her husband. And I told her, I said, I'm not going to plant the seeds of death. You will die when it's your time. And not before. Unless you take yourself out. In which case, you'll never see your husband because you'll be earthbound.
That's just rude.
Well, you said before that they cannot move into the light until it's their time. If they take their own life, correct?
You can't move it. Yeah, you can't. Again, when you take your authority through Christ and you begin to live in the light of Christ, you look at things way differently. It's a whole different way of seeing things. And you can ask your guides to tell you why this person is doing this. Why are they acting like this? What do you need to learn from this? And they'll tell you.
And sometimes you sit there and go, didn't think about that.
Right.
Or, oh, that was really that simple. Okay.
And you can ask for things, they will come to you. But again, make sure that's what you want. Because sometimes you ask for things and you find out you never really wanted that. You just thought you did. Like my trip to China.
You didn't like it?
No. Well, let me put it to you this way.
Oh, yeah.
It was extreme.
That's 2 years
ago. It was fascinating. It was miserable. It was not a vacation of any sorts. It was a working trip.
Wow.
I went there with the Chinese government through the Japanese to locate Wildman or Sasquatch.
Really?
Yeah. The same Chinese government that forbids like reincarnation and religion?
Yeah.
Had you come over?
Yeah.
Did they know about you?
They did when I got there. I was healing people all over the place in the name of Jesus Christ, all sorts of things.
Did you find Miss Yancey?
I found proof of the Yeti. Yes.
The nest.
Correct. I found areas where the Yeti rested during the day and how he rested. I took photographs of the hair of the Yeti that proved that it was had been DNA, that it was half animal, half human.
Interesting.
Was it underground?
The Yeti?
No, the living where the Yeti was it underground?
They had caves.
Okay.
But during the day they dug trenches. And they would sleep in those trenches or in the caves, depending,
mm-hmm.
and cover themselves up, which was really interesting. We found the trenches. The problem is that they very often carry a virus with them that makes you very, very ill if you get in their direct vicinity. And most of the people, including myself, got ill.
Wow.
And they were vegetarian.
Yeah.
Their form of protection.
Yeah. And they're really, they take care of the animals. They're like guardians of the animals. It's wild.
Cool.
But they will kill a rabbit during winters, severe winters. Yeah.
Why?
There were several?
Yeah, family. There's a family within a 100 mile radius.
Wow.
And then when the child grows, they have to leave. And they have to start their own. There's not a lot of them, let me tell you.
Wow.
Why would they kill a rabbit?
It's not probably 100 miles. I think it's 100 acres.
Can I eat some vegetation?
Actually, it'd be 2.6 clicks.
Yeah.
Don't have miles over
there. But I do have those photographs. I was allowed to take it, the photographs, the stills.
Well, what a good segue into my question. Animals in captivity, wild animals in captivity. Does this go against anything, any spiritual law?
No.
As in zoos or something like that?
No.
All the big uproar right now with the whales and all of that. I've never seen anything wrong with it.
I'm sorry. When I got involved in learning really about animals, if they had souls, and finding out that they did, and they have souls, spirits, all that, and that everything was intelligent. But I also found out that they were here to be for us. That it was their job to surrender to us.
At our will.
At our will. And that we were allowed to name them, and they were then could... How do I explain this? It's like we have a spiritual authority over all the animal kingdom.
You can tell though some animals that are just stressed.
Well, you would be too if you had a bunch of people that had authority over you.
Bless them.
I mean, we're not too swift with ourselves, and we're really bad with animals.
Yeah, we are.
We're greedy.
But there's nothing wrong with zoos and places like that.
No.
As long as they're being cared for.
Well.
And not abused in the zoos.
I'm in total agreement. And the spirit community, the animal spirit community, doesn't like the idea of abuse either. And there are certain laws that do come into effect to those people who abuse animals. attach to you in return. Let's say you abuse an animal or animals, and you abuse them to the point of death. They then have the right to attach to your body, causing you bodily pain until your death.
Would that be, say, for people that fight animals?
Or hunters?
Dog fighters?
Like dog fighters, cockfights? Mm-hmm. I mean, is that at our will too?
Apparently, if you kill animals, they have the right. If you torture and you kill animals, they have the right to attach to you.
Okay.
Fighting animals, I don't think so.
Okay.
I would call that torture thing.
Well, you can call it whatever you choose, but there's spiritual laws that come into effect, and that's what they taught me.
Not being humane, basically.
No, it's if you take their lives knowingly, and with torture, they have the right to attach to you. If you take a human's life, they have the right to attach to you.
So for someone who goes and hunts for food, not for sport.
If they hunt for food, that's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
But not
for
sport.
If they hunt for the pleasure of killing, that's a whole different ballgame.
Right. That makes sense. Okay.
I've noticed that the more that I've grown and the more that I learn spiritually, the more animals are, the more I can, I love animals. Animals love me.
They know.
And there's just sort of this unspoken thing.
Yeah, they know. Mm-hmm.
I had someone's dog come up to me last week that they say, she never goes up to anybody. Came right up to me and wanted me to pet her.
Dogs and babies.
As you begin to grow and evolve and to get it, everything around you knows that you're aware and they're reactive. If you know that everything has consciousness and intelligence, they're reactive to that.
Go walk in the woods.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It is so cool. Seriously.
It's coming into oneness. And again, that's coming into your authority. Am I making any sense here?
Mm-hmm. Yours.
Okay, good.
You
then we're going to break, and then we'll come back. And I want your question.